Okay, so today we're heading to Dubai, virtually at least. We're looking at these massive vertical construction sites. And we want to understand one thing, really. Why scaffolding there isn't just, basic kit. It's a core engineering challenge. So our mission in this deep dive gets you straight to the surprising truth about these access systems in, well, an environment that seems determined to destroy them. And the stakes, they're just immense. I mean, if you get the engineering spec wrong on these temporary structures, it leads directly to catastrophic material loss, huge delays, and potentially severe injuries. It's serious.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating is the why behind it all. It's the environment. It's kind of a silent killer for standard materials. You've got the obvious things like intense sun, temperatures hitting over 40 degrees Celsius regularly, but it's the air itself, especially near the coast. It's full of salt, airborne chlorides. It's so corrosive, it actually gets classified as C5 severity.
C5. Wow. So the air itself is literally eating away at standard steel.
Pretty much, yeah. That's why, look, the main takeaway right at the start has to be this. Standard scaffolding steel. It's basically a ticking clock in Dubai. Hot dip galvanization, HDG. That's not some premium add-on. It's the bare minimum. It's like an insurance policy just to stop the primary load-bearing parts failing because of the environment.
Okay, that makes sense. So HDG deals with the corrosion. But now you're fighting gravity, fighting physics, right? When you build that high, what's the biggest external force these things face?
Ah, that would be the dynamic lateral forces. We're talking wind loads primarily, and also vortex shedding.
Vortex shedding, like the wind causing vibrations.
Exactly. The wind isn't just a steady push, it sort of rocks the structure, makes it oscillate, and those forces, they increase exponentially the higher up you go, which means the engineers have to meticulously pre-plan what's called tie-in periodicity.
Tie-in periodicity.
Yeah.
So how often they anchor the scaffold back to the main building?
Precisely. How often and how strong those connections need to be, it has to be robustly integrated with the permanent structure.
Right. So given all that stress, environmental and structural illusional, you obviously can't just use, basic stuff you see on smaller sites. But isn't it way cheaper just to use conventional scaffolding and, I don't know, replace bits more often? How do they justify the huge upfront cost of these specialized systems?
That's the key question, the cost versus efficiency. You're right, the specialized systems cost more initially. So for really heavy-duty work, like lifting big loads or shoring applications, they often rely on system scaffolding. Think cup lock, for instance.
Cup lock, what's special about that?
Well, it's known for its assembly speed. It goes up incredibly fast, uses fewer individual components, which saves labor time, and it's strong, really strong. Certified load capacity is typically between 4.0, maybe 6.0 kilonewtons per square meter.
Which is a lot.
It's huge. Think about parking several large SUVs on just a small platform area. That's the kind of load it can handle. But here's where it gets really interesting, I think. Once projects go past the 100-meter mark, they almost always switch to specialized climbing systems. Specifically, mast climbing work platforms or MCWPs.
MCWPs. Okay, mast climbers, what's the big advantage there?
They're the secret sauce, really. They fundamentally reduce dependency on the tower crane.
Ah, the bottleneck. Crane time is always limited on these super tall projects.
Exactly. MCWPs are basically self-climbing elevators that move up the outside of the building. They carry workers, materials. It drastically cuts down the waiting time for vertical access. Huge impact on the schedule.
The complexity is just
Yeah.
staggering. Okay, let's switch gears slightly. Safety protocols. Given the risk, I mean, a collapse could impact public areas below. How tight are the inspection rules from the Dubai municipality?
Oh, they're incredibly rigorous. It's essentially a three-tiered system. First, you have daily pre-use checks by the actual crew using the platform, simple visual checks, basic function tests. Then there are mandatory weekly inspections conducted by site supervisory staff, more thorough. And crucially, you need independent third-party certification. This is mandatory after the initial setup, after any significant modification, or importantly, after any severe weather, like a high wind event.
A third-party sign-off, so independent verification.
Absolutely. Accountability is key. Manufacturers also have to supply fully certified structural calculation reports. These reports have to prove the system's capacity under the absolute worst-case loading scenarios imagined for that specific project. And another critical point, uncertified repairs on any main structural part, strictly forbidden. You cannot weld or patch up a load-bearing component on-site without proper certification.
Wow. So the whole vetting process must be ironclad then. Material traceability, proving compliance with standards.
Full material traceability is required. And compliance with both European norms, EN standards, and OSHA standards from the U.S., it all has to be verified before anything gets erected.
Okay, so pulling this all together.
Yeah.
What does this level of intense detail, this complexity, actually mean for the project managers, the engineers, running these huge multi-billion-dollar developments?
Ultimately, it boils down to TCO, total cost of ownership, not just the initial price tag. Yes, you pay significantly more upfront for sophisticated systems like MCWPs compared to, say, basic system scaffolding. But that higher capital outlay, it's often immediately offset by massive savings in labor time and, crucially, by accelerating the project schedule. Shaving months off a super tall project saves an enormous amount of money.
So the efficiency gains, the speed, outweighs the initial cost.
In most high-rise scenarios, absolutely. The faster you can safely get crews and materials up the building, the faster the project gets done. The TCO calculation usually favors the advanced systems for speed.
It's fascinating, though, isn't it? Thinking that the temporary access system, it requires almost the same level of complex engineering analysis as the permanent building itself.
It really does, which is why leading engineers now integrate building information modeling, BIM for this. They digitally model the entire temporary access system within the main structural design from the start. And that raises a kind of provocative thought, maybe for you, the listener, to consider. If the temporary safety structure, the scaffolding, or the MCWP needs almost as much engineering rigor as the final skyscraper, how much risk are we truly accepting when we push for ever faster vertical construction speeds? It's a balancing act.